You have your Bibles this morning. I ask you to please turn to the 103rd Psalm. 103. I want to read the first 12 verses. Psalm 103. I encourage you to look in your Bibles. It's very important that you look in your Bible. If you don't have your own Bible, there are Bibles on the pews there. Please take a Bible and turn to Psalm 103 as we try to read and study God's holy word. Before we begin to endeavor to read, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be able to be in thy house. We thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for the cool air. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to see this time of year. As we think about all the blessings we have, we're overwhelmed in our hearts and minds and souls as we think about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and the grace of God that's shed abroad in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for thy church that thou hast established in the earth. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the church family that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of thy word, and we pray that you would help us to understand more and more of thy word. We pray that you would teach us and instruct us. May thy Holy Spirit teach us this morning and help us to see more about thee. Thank you again, Lord, for those that have been sick that are doing better. We thank you for the healthy birth of the baby that we've been in prayer for during this past week. Thank you for your blessings on all of our lives. And help us, Lord, to all remember that we're not worthy of even the least of thy blessings. That it's because of your mercy and your grace that you've been so good to us. We pray now that you would bless all those that have special burdens and problems this day. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. Bless the families who are having trouble. We pray that you would bless the individuals who are trying to overcome sin and temptation in their lives. We pray that your strength and your power would give them the grace they need every day. That they would help us all to use the grace that you've given us. Help us not to receive the grace of God in vain. Bless us now as we try to study thy holy word. Bless all the other congregations wherever they're assembled together. Bless every preacher to preach the word. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 12. The word of God, and this is David speaking. I want you to think about every word, every sentence that he records here. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I want you to just think about how David begins this psalm by praising God and saying, "Let everything within me praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And don't forget all of his benefits that he has bestowed upon us." And then he begins to name some of those blessings in verse 3. He says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." If correctly read, that's Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. There are two main thoughts that are on my heart this morning, really three thoughts, but there are two main thoughts that are mentioned specifically in this psalm. The first one is found in verse 3. I want to reread verse 3. Verse 3, as he's talking about all the different things God has done for us, he says that God forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's the first thing that I want us to think about this morning, is God forgiving all our iniquities. And then come down to verse 12. He's still talking about our sins and our iniquities. In verse 12, he says, not only has God forgiven us our iniquities, but then in verse 12 he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So he has forgiven us our iniquities. And then the Word of God talks about how he has removed our transgressions from us. And then the third thing I want us to look at this morning is how that not only has God forgiven us our iniquities and removed our sins far from us, but the final thing we want to look at is that God remembers our sins no more. And I pray that God will help us to see how thankful we ought to be that God has forgiven us and removed our transgressions, and then he remembers our sins no more. Let's go back now to verse 3 and think about God forgiving us our iniquities. That's the first thing after David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The first thing that comes to David's mind, the first words out of his mouth as a reason for us to praise God and glorify God with our mouth is because he has forgiven us of all our iniquities. Was David a sinner? Was David a bad sinner? Okay, now, there are a number of heads going up and down. Yes, David was a bad sinner. Well, what we're thinking about, when we think about David being a bad sinner, we're thinking, or at least I'm thinking, when I think about David being a bad sinner, I think about that he committed adultery. He took Uriah's wife, and he lay with her. He committed adultery, and then he had Uriah the Hittite killed. So he certainly committed some sins in his life that resulted in the sword never departing from his house. In one night and the next few days, David did some things that were so wrong that he suffered the rest of his life because of what he did. I, at the same time, want to remind you that God describes David as a man after God's own heart, a man that feared God, a man that shunned evil. And the Bible says that he departed not from anything God commanded him, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, David, though we all know he was a sinner, David was about as good a man as you'll ever find on this earth. And yet David realized that in spite of all his goodness, that he is a sinner. And in spite of all of your goodness, I had someone this morning say to me, the person said, one of the biggest problems I've just realized I have is that I feel self-righteous. Did you know that's a problem that just about all of us have from time to time? It's not a rare thing. If the devil can keep you in the ditch of sin and keep you living an ungodly life, he's won the victory then. But if you get out of that ditch and God lifts you out, we sing that song, He Lifted Me, and we talk about how God lifts us up and delivers us from the bondage of sin and death. And we begin to walk in a way that honors and glorifies God, and we begin to serve God, and we go to God's house, and we become a faithful Christian. The danger then is that you become self-righteous and talk about and think about how clean and wonderful a Christian you are. Did you know that even at our best, we still fall short? David, at his best, he still fell short. Every day of his life and every day of my life and every day of your life, we sin even if we don't recognize the sin. So David was a sinner, but he was a sinner that tried to live a life that honored and glorified God, didn't he? And it's only people who realize how great a sinner they are that will do what David does here and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Because He has forgiven us our iniquities. If you realize what a sinner you are, and you realize that you do fall short of honoring and glorifying God, every day you're going to get up and you're going to praise the Lord and bless the Lord because He has what? What's the first thing we're looking at? He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us our iniquities. That's a great blessing to think about, God forgiving us our sins. Someone else this morning made that statement to me. They said that one of the greatest blessings that they have is that God has forgiven us. To know that God has forgiven us our iniquities. To know that God, in His mercy and His grace, that if we receive what we deserve in our lives, we would not be receiving all these blessings. He talks not only about the deliverance from sin, but He talks about all of the kinds of blessings that we have in our lives. We would not receive the blessings we have every day in our lives if it weren't for the mercy and the grace of God. And the more I know about me and my shortcomings and my sinful condition, the more I really examine myself, the more thankful I will be for God forgiving me of my sins. You realize that most of us think, when we think about a sinner, we think about somebody else. Did you know most of the time that's what we do? It's when we think about a sinner, we typically think about someone else. And that's a problem we'd better correct in our lives. Because instead of me always looking at other people, I need to examine myself. The Bible says that I need to consider my ways. I need to consider my thoughts. The Bible says the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. I don't even have to go do it. Just the thoughts of foolishness. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Are there things that you know you ought to be doing? Are there good things you know you should be doing that you're not doing? Well, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there are sins of omission, that is, leaving undone things that we ought to be doing. And then there are sins of commission, where we do things that we ought not to be doing. I know that you know this, but I pray that God will impress on our hearts, we are sinners, that we are sinners. And we need to ask God for mercy and grace every day of our lives. And we need to feel what David felt when he wrote this psalm and he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name, who forgiveth our iniquities." He hath forgiven us. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians just a moment. Turn forward in your Bible to Ephesians. Hold your finger here at Psalm 103. We're going to be coming right back here, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Please look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1. Now I want you to remember, in Psalm 103, who was writing there? David was. Then Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing, and the Apostle Paul does almost identically the same thing here in Ephesians chapter 1 that David did back there in Psalm 103. That is that Paul, in writing to the saints of God at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, I want you to notice what David does. And I think that as we study the Scriptures, that this will be the pattern of every child of God that thinks about their life and they examine themselves, they will be praising the Lord for forgiving us of our iniquities. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Now, what did David say over there in Psalm 103, verse 1? What did David say? What's the first thing he said? "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Because He has forgiven us of our iniquities." Well, that's what Paul does here in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Now, you might say, well, he doesn't talk specifically about forgiveness. Yes, he does. The first thing he does, he says, now, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then he talks about he chose us in verse 4, and he predestinated us in verse 5. And in verse 6 he says it's all done to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, not that we accepted him, but he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now look at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, after he's been praising God for God choosing us and predestinating us and making us accepted in the beloved, he says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is Paul blessing God for? What is Paul praising God for? Well, he's praising God for saving him from his sins. He's praising God for choosing him before the foundation of the world. He's praising God for predestinating him to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. But he understands that election and predestination mean absolutely nothing without redemption. And so he says, now praise the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7 he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Everybody that deserved to have Jesus shed his blood for you, would you please stand? Not a one. And that's what Paul's talking about. He says that he has forgiven us, that by the blood of Jesus Christ he has forgiven us, and then he makes the statement, according to the riches of his grace. It's the grace of God that caused us to be forgiven of our sins. The grace of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. He's still talking about us being forgiven. The first thing we're talking about this morning and looking at is that we have been forgiven of our sins. Do you think you're as thankful as you ought to be about being forgiven of your sins? Do you think do you think very often about God forgiving you of your sins? I hope that we do, but I know that in thinking and meditating and studying on this week, that the impression on my mind and heart as I've examined myself is I am not as thankful as these people as I read the Word of God who penned these words. They were thankful that God had forgiven them, and they wrote about it, they talked about it, they rejoiced in it, they praised God. Because he had, what's the first thing he did? He has forgiven us of our sins. That's the first thing. It gets better than that. You know, if all you knew about was forgiveness, that's as good as it could get, isn't it? That he's forgiven us. But it gets better. But he has forgiven us of our sins. Ephesians chapter 4, now look at verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. He's still talking about forgiveness. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, the Word of God says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Now, do you ever have trouble forgiving other people? You got any grudges in your heart? Got any bad feelings in your heart toward anyone? Do you need to forgive anyone? Well, I do. Sometimes I bury the hatchet, and sometimes I dig it back up. Sometimes I forgive people, and before I know it, it's like somebody else in this congregation told me, they said, you know, I think I have forgiven this person, and the person has done more wrong to him than anybody else has ever done to me. This person's done a lot of wrong to him. He says, I think I have forgiven him, and I don't feel angry toward him, and I actually pray for him. But he said, when I see him, I get in a rage again. Now, that brother is acknowledging he has a problem that he's trying to deal with. Most of us would say, oh, I'm not angry at anybody. I don't hate anybody. We don't hate anybody, do we? I'll tell you, we don't want to call it hate. We don't want to call it anger. But all of us have problems in our loving our enemies because we're not willing to forgive. And that's what he's talking about here in Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What's the point that we're looking at right now? That God has forgiven us. I'm talking about something that's over. I'm talking about something that is already accomplished. I'm not talking about me doing something in order for God to give me right now. I'm talking about God has already forgiven me at the cross of Calvary when Jesus hung on the cross. When He shed His blood for me, I was forgiven right there at Calvary. My sins were placed on Jesus Christ, and His righteousness was imputed to me. I am righteous today because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me. And can you understand now why David would get up and write down these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. He has forgiven me of my iniquities." I think this psalm was written after he had committed the sin with Bathsheba and with Uriah the Hittite. It was after Psalm 51 where he had gone through hell and said, "God, please purge me of my sin." And now he felt indeed God had forgiven him. I'm glad that the Word of God teaches me that God has forgiven me of my sin. Periodically, the devil will bring my sins of my past up in my life and throw those in my face and cause me to fear and tremble and to be depressed and discouraged because of past sins in my life. But listen, brethren, I run right back to the Word of God every time and say, God has forgiven me. When the devil tells me about all my sins of my past and tries to get me discouraged because of that, I go right back in his face and I say, Jesus paid it all. Jesus died for my sins. My Father has forgiven me of all mine iniquities. I'm a child of the King because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been purged. I've been cleansed. I've been made whole because of Jesus. I can say in my heart right now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name because He has forgiven me. And if He's forgiven me, can I forgive you? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God hath forgiven you. Now, go with me back to Psalm 103. What's the first thing that God has done that David rejoiced in? He hath forgiven us. Now, the second thing is in Psalm 103. Look again at verse 12. Psalm 103. Please listen carefully. This is so important. Not only has God forgiven me of my sins, but listen. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Think about that now. He hasn't just forgiven me. It would be kind of like if I said, "Okay, now I forgive you, but every time I look at you, those sins are still ever before me," you know? The things you've done wrong are still before me. Well, God says, "I have forgiven you, and I have removed your transgressions from you." Removed them from us. He expresses it about four different ways in the Scriptures. One of the ways that He expresses it, He says, in this verse, He says, "I have removed your transgressions from you." But then He says also that He has cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. And brethren, there's some deep places in this ocean. And God's Word says that God has forgiven me my iniquities, but it's better than that. He hasn't just forgiven me, but the Word of God says here, "I have removed your transgressions from you, and I have cast them into the depth of the sea." Another expression in the Word of God is that God has blotted out all our transgressions. Blotted them out. Now, sometimes we use whiteout or something. We used to, when I was in college, we used whiteout. It was a liquid stuff that you just put over the paper to erase the word. But if you look real close, you could see them under there, couldn't you? Well, that's not what God's talking about. God hadn't just covered them up. He has removed them from the page. They're not on the page. They've been blotted out. They've been removed from us. And they have been cast into the depths of the sea. I don't know, but I think maybe I thank God as much for that as I do for Him forgiving me of my transgressions. I'm thankful He's forgiven me, But I'm also thankful that He has removed those transgressions from me. I'm glad He has cast those transgressions into the depths of the sea. I'm glad He has blotted out those transgressions. There's another expression He uses. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 38, talking about Him removing our transgressions. In Isaiah chapter 38, look in your Bibles, go forward just a few pages to Isaiah chapter 38, and listen please to verse 17. God has not only forgiven our transgressions, but He has removed our transgressions. Do all of you see that removing our transgressions is better than just forgiving our transgressions? That He's removed our transgressions. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I don't know that I've ever clearly understood that as much as I do right now. That He hasn't just forgiven me my transgressions. Now, I knew all these other scriptures were in the Bible, but I see a clear progression of step by step. He has forgiven us our transgressions. He has removed our transgressions. He has cast our transgressions in the depth of the sea. He has blotted them out. And now listen to Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. The Word of God says in Isaiah 38 verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." Now this is what Isaiah is writing. Listen. Is he saying I had peace? What's he saying I had instead of peace? He says, "For peace I had great bitterness." Have you ever been there in your life where instead of peace, though you might seek peace, though you wanted peace, though you wanted to feel peace in your soul, Isaiah says, "For peace I had great bitterness instead of peace." He says, "But thou," but God, you know, but God. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." You see the expression there? Now, in Psalm 103, verse 12, God said that He had removed our transgressions from us. And then in Micah, it talks about how He has cast our transgressions and our sins into the depth of the sea. And God has blotted out our transgressions. And now Isaiah says, "I had bitterness in my soul instead of peace. I did not have peace. But thou, in thy mercy, you came to me and you removed my sin and you put my sins behind your back." Was Isaiah a happy man right here? Yes, he was. Did he have peace now? He had peace. Why did he have peace? Because instead of him seeing his sins and his iniquities, he knew God had not only forgiven him of his sins, but you know, sometimes we say, "I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Brother Terry called me. A lot of times he'll call me on Saturday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and he'll say, "What's the subject going to be for tomorrow?" And I've been studying, and a lot of times I'll say, "Well, I don't know. I've got a bunch of different things in my heart and mind." But yesterday I said, I want to try to preach about God forgetting. He said, "God forgetting?" He said, "I didn't think God could forget anything." And then he said, "Wait a minute. There's some things I'm glad God does forget. Some things I'm glad God does forget." Now, God's sovereign. God is omniscient. God knows everything. God knows when a spare falls to the ground. It's not forgotten by God. God knows that happens. Every single sin in my life, God knows about all my sins. But God in His sovereignty, and listen, we forget things all the time, don't we? Brother David, the older we get, man, I'm telling you, we forget them. Sometimes I can't call your name. Sometimes I can't find my keys. I forget where my glasses are. I forget all kinds of things. I forget dates. I forget appointments. I forget things. And we forget things. But that's because we're human. God is not human. And God never forgets in the way that we forget and have problems with remembering things. God does not just forget. Without God, in His omnipotence, it takes a miracle for God to remember our sins no more. God in His sovereignty cannot forget. And yet God in His sovereignty can refuse to remember something. Now that, I hope that's clear. It may not be, but it's clear to me. that God can't just forget like we forget, but God in His great power and sovereignty, He can just blot it out. He can just put it behind His back. He can cast it into the depths of the sea and say this. He says, I've cast it into the depths of the sea and I will remember it no more. Oh, that's good. He's forgiven me. Oh, I'm thankful for that. That's the reason I'm going to be in eternal heaven, is because He's forgiven me. But He's done better than forgive me. He's removed my transgressions. He's cast them into the depths of the sea. But now if they were still there and He still knew about them, He still thought about them, I couldn't have the great peace that I have in knowing He says, I will not just forgive you, I will not just put them away from you, but I'm not going to remember them anymore. Now that's amazing grace. And because of that, we can say like David did, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And we can say like Paul, blessed be the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 43 just a moment. Isaiah 43, we've already looked at some scriptures that talk about God forgiving us and removing our transgressions from us. Now I want you to see just a couple of scriptures that talk about God remembering our sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. God says, here's what God says now. Did you know I can't do what God can do? In all kinds of ways, but I'm talking about just in this one way. I can't do what God can do. Now I can pray for God to help me to forgive and forget. And I think in a great way, many ways, sometimes I think I do just completely forget, but it's because mostly of my weakness and frailty and God's help. But I can forget things that you do wrong. Do you have trouble sometimes remembering anything that anybody's ever done wrong? Sometimes when I look at you, I think, you know, I can't think of anybody here that's ever really done me wrong. Sometimes I honestly, truly feel that way. I can't remember anything that you've done me wrong. Any way that you've ever done me wrong. None of you. Can't remember anything. But I'll tell you, it's only when I'm in the Spirit that I feel that way. Because when the old devil comes along and I get in the flesh, you know what I do? I nitpick. Yeah, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. When I lay down to pray at night, I start in my mind's eye, and I start here, and I just go down this row and this row and this row, and I pray for each row and each individual, pray for each person and everything. And sometimes I'll get to one of you, and the old devil will say, yeah, they're not trying. You don't need to pray. Just skip that one. Just cast him away. They're not worth praying for. Now that's devilish, isn't it? The devil, right when you're in the middle of praying, the devil will jump right in there. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? See, what happens is the devil reminds me of something you did. And the devil will remind you of all kinds of things I do wrong too. And if you keep thinking about those things, you and I won't have fellowship anymore. We have to do what God does. By the grace of God, we have to forgive and what now? Forget. God remembers. He does it perfectly now. The devil can't get God to bring them back up again. God is sovereign. So in Isaiah 43:25, God says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Now, is that good? That's the same as what we've been talking about, blotting them out for mine own sake. And, you see, he's going further now. I blotted out your transgressions and will not remember thy sins. I will not remember thy sins. I refuse to remember your sins. That's better than forgiving, just forgiving. It's better than just forgiving and blotting out. It's, I'm going to go one step further and I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. Now, with that understanding of the truth in God's Word and me believing that truth, can I have peace in my soul about any sin in my past? Yes, I can. Because Jesus, and listen, this is it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I didn't do one thing to deserve even to be forgiven. I didn't deserve one thing to be forgiven. I certainly didn't do anything to deserve to have them removed from me, and I certainly didn't do anything for God to remember my sins no more. Go with me to one other verse in closing. Go forward in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, and I'll close right here. In Hebrews chapter 8, listen please to verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. God says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. God again is talking about how He has worked a miracle on His own omniscience in that He is just, He's removed them and He's blotted them out and He's not going to remember them anymore. In Hebrews 8, verse 12, the Word of God says, Hebrews 8, 12, for I will be merciful. Is that the reason that God doesn't hold you accountable for your sins? Because of His mercy. God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. There are three or four times that God makes that statement in the Word of God, that I will remember their sins no more. Now, what do you think we ought to do today and every day? Because God has forgiven us our sins and blotted them out and removed them and will remember them no more. What should we do? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I want to serve God. Let me tell you, and I think all of you know this, we're not serving God in hopes of getting into heaven one day when we die. We're serving God because of what God's already done for us. We're serving God because of what God's already done for us. He has forgiven us. He's blotted them out, and He will remember them no more. Therefore, I want to bless the Lord with my body, soul, and spirit. May God help us to praise the Lord and worship the Lord and serve the Lord every day because of what He has done for us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.